Jonathan, what motivates you to change? Let's talk about
change. I mean, we just get back from summer and now you give me this huge question.
I got a big one. I wanted to, you don't know where I'm going to start sometimes, you know? Yeah. I could ask you a dumb question.
I know.
Or I could ask you a deep one. And today, going deep.
So what makes me want to change? Is that what you
asked me? Yeah. Talk about some of the motivational factors of change.
So I've always wondered, like, is it fear or love that is the biggest motivator in this world? And then to change, is it like fear or success? What is the bigger motivator for change? I think in my life, unfortunately, maybe fortunately, I don't know, is success is the bigger motivator than fear.
Yeah. Are you known, I think I know the answer to this, but as just kind of being fearless, having, I feel like your risk meter is pretty high.
Yeah.
Like just the stories, even you've told on this podcast, you know, there's some crazy things you have done to put the, you put the chips on the table and you've gone for it in your business. You've gone for it with your family. So I could see how you're not necessarily motivated by fear because you have a huge,
you
know, your risk meter is pretty high.
Yeah. I guess that there's one element of fear though, that does motivate me.
Yeah.
And it's when I have a certain way that I think about myself.
Yeah.
And then when something crashes into that and I see how other people think about me in a certain area that I had a previous thought of myself and they don't align. And it's that moment when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a fraud or something like that. That is a moment that like fear will motivate me.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
What motivates me to change?
Yeah.
I think it's where I'm finding pockets of love and happiness and joy, you know, and whatever, and that changes over time, right? The things that make you happy.
Yeah.
You find happiness in this one thing. And then you realize a lot of times that thing is not making you happy at all. And then, you know, you're finding it in something else. And I think love's a very motivating factor for all of us. I think he was a political economist. He was a Scottish minister. I think I'm going to butcher this, but I think his name is Thomas Chalmers.
Okay.
You heard that name?
No.
He talked about change in a way that really landed on me a while ago. He called it the expulsive power of a new affection. That when you're loving something that is like doing harm to you, and maybe you're loving your work too much and it's turning you into a workaholic, or you're loving a relationship too much and it's making you codependent, or you're loving alcohol too much and it's making you an alcoholic. How do you change? And his point was, you have to have a greater love come into your life, something you love more than your work, something you love more than that relationship. And what that new love does is it expels the inordinate loves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you change, is you actually have to change from love to love. And I don't know if that lands on you at all.
No, for sure it does.
But that's always stuck with me.
Especially with giant things. But what about like little things?
For instance?
You want to change the way you style your hair.
Yeah.
You want to start going to the gym more. You want, you know, those little things in life that, because the big things are the big things, but it's all of these little tiny, I think Aristotle said no one ever tripped over a mountain.
Uh-huh.
It's all those little tiny things that we trip over.
Yeah.
How do you motivate yourself to make those smaller changes?
So I'm motivated by the relationships in my life.
Okay.
So for instance, you mentioned hairstyling,
right.
You know, I mean, right now, this is ridiculous. I'm wearing a baseball hat.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dressed like a 12-year-old right now,
right.
You know, but oftentimes I feel like I'm in a marital relationship and that is very shaping.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it? I mean, when it's not just you, now it's you and someone else. And so you're forming each other in relationship. And so, and a lot of that stuff of like how we dress, how we talk, what we look, what we say, what we don't say, I feel like is so much formed by those accountable relationships that we're in. They form us, they shape us. I think of my kids, you know, like why do I feel bad that I'm not working out right now? It's because I have children and I want them to see you know, a dad who's healthy, a dad who's like, you know, caring about his physical health, his physical well-being. He's a dad who's holistic. Like, I think about my kids, right. And that's a motivating factor.
I want to get into that in just a second, but do you think you change more or conform more?
I think it's change. I mean, I think the cynical way to look at it is conform. But again, when you're driven, like, I want to be in these relationships out of love. But by being in relationships, they naturally have a way of chipping away at what we might call self-centeredness, you know, what we might call ego. Like, ego doesn't really work when you're in relationship with other people. It's not functional. So being in relationship, I think, starts to chip away at that. And that's how you form. That's how you get better. That's why I think relationships are so important for our growth and for, you know, becoming who we were made to be.
Right.
I think we're better. And I mean, I'm an optimist, right? Better together.
Yeah.
I mean, do you believe that? Or do you say conform? Are you more of the rugged individualist? Because that's a thread too.
Yeah.
That's a narrative too, which is, I'm my own person. I do what I want when I want. Nobody can tell me, you know, who to be, what to believe, you know, and that's definitely a narrative. I just don't buy it. I just don't subscribe to it.
Yeah. I probably would align more in that arena than in the better. No, I believe we're better together.
Yeah.
But I believe we're better together when each of us are completely individual and independent, working towards a positive solution. But what I wanted to get a question that I had, though, when you were saying that about your kids and like you want to exercise so your kids, so you can be, I think you even said, so I can be around for them and to give
that's
them
a part of it.
Give them a good.
Yeah.
Do you believe, like, do you really believe that exercise is important?
Yeah.
Like for your health,
yeah,
for
yeah,
well-being, yeah. In what ways do you think exercise is important?
Is this a trick question?
No, I'm just, I want to
know.
It's
like asking, is eating good for you?
Sometimes, like, right? Like, sometimes eating is good for you, but sometimes eating isn't good for you.
Yeah. Well, I think on the whole, as a diet, it is.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with exercise. I think our bodies need maintenance. They need tune-ups. They need to be refined. And that's what working out does. It keeps it in check. It makes sure you're not, you know, slacking off in one area of your body. You know, it's a good thing.
Yeah. I just always...
Where were you going with that question?
I wasn't going to any particular place. I struggle sometimes with these things that we just would blanketly say. Because I do it all the time, of things that probably are excellent for me, but then why don't I do them?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a totally different question. Yeah, that's a different question. Is it good for me? Yes. Different question than why don't I do it? Well, now
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just in general.
I told you I'm in a season where I'm not right now. So that's then you ask the question why. You know, what do I love more than, you know, being there for my kids, being a good example. I mean, if you go back to the idea of love, there's something else I'm valuing even more in that moment, like functionally in that moment when I don't get up, when I don't work out, when I'm saying no to being that example for my kids. Like, I am in the same moment saying yes to something else.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting conversation, you know, and for me, that could be, you know,
for me,
comfort, you know, just wanting a break, you know, there's all different kinds of things I could want more in that moment.
For me, it's, I kind of have to drive by Taco Bell to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And so if I don't go early in the morning, if I go after 11, then it is the grilled cheese steak burrito that I love more than I love working
grilled
out.
Grilled cheese steak burrito?
It's so good. It's so good.
Are you sad?
No, I when I pull in and I get it and I'm holding it
do
in my hand.
Do you eat that in sweatpants? Do you, are you even trying that?
Well, I'm not going to take a shower now. Like, I'm done. But yeah, so.
You know, I.
That's what I prefer.
I am definitely motivated in relationships, 100%. I think you and I are different in this regard a little bit.
Yeah.
You even said I'm more the rugged individualist. I thrive more in community. For instance, working out. I remember I had a workout buddy. This is a while ago, and we would get up at 5:30 in the morning to work out together, go to the gym. And so I remember one morning, got up early, got up at 5 a.m. to be there at 5:30. I'm driving to the gym. I am literally in the parking lot of the gym. I've done all the hard work already. Mm-hmm. I woke up, you know, I had my coffee, I got there, and then he texts me and says, you know, I forget what the excuse was, but he can't make it. So now I have a very interesting dilemma in front of me.
Yeah.
What do I do? Now, I drove home. That's interesting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that I decided I was going to drive home instead of walking through that gym, even though I'd already done a lot of the hard work.
Yeah. You got yourself there, which they say is 90% of the...
But what does that tell you about me? Like, part of the motivating factor for change, motivating factor for me even working out was what?
Your friend.
My friend.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to be there. And I knew if I didn't show up, I would feel like whatever. I would feel like I let him down. I would be disappointed in myself. I mean, all different kinds of things could have been happening there, but I was motivated by him.
So how long could you work out and diet? Let's say you went on workout and diet. How long could you sustain that if you saw no visible change?
I think it's 3 months.
You'd be okay.
I've always had that in my mind. Like 90 days of, I'm just going to fake it till you make it.
Right.
Right. That's always been in my head. And I've used that before because typically, I remember when I was working out a lot, it was around the 3 month mark, you start seeing the results. And then you're like, I want to keep now that I see the results, I want to keep going.
It's interesting how quickly you see the negative results though, huh?
Oh yeah.
You're like, oh yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Today? Like I had a beer at lunch and now I look like this already.
So your idea though, that you have to share today is around exercise. It's around diet, isn't it? It's around working out and this idea of motivation. So hit us with it.
Yeah. Basically it would be a filter that you'd put on your phone.
Okay.
I could even see it being on a mirror at some point, but we'll start with the simple one. An app you put on your phone, it's a filter that when you look at yourself, it's tracking your data from your phone, so your exercise, and if you're tracking your calories, it's tracking that as well.
Yeah.
And you have a setting in there, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, and it shows you this is what you would look like if you did this exact same day for the next 365 days, 180 days, 90 days,
yes.
30 days, and you'd be able to see the physical change on your body, positive or negative, if you live that way tomorrow.
So not just capturing, I went to the gym, if you kept it up, here's what you would look like. But if I don't go,
yes.
It's showing me the flab, it's showing me
yes.
all the nooks and crannies
yeah.
that you want to hide. Okay, so that's the idea. How did you come up with this idea? What's the derivation of this idea for you?
Looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, how did I end up looking like this?
You're a fine looking gentleman.
Now I'm better,
there a moment? Did you let loose for a little bit?
Yeah.
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 I don't know that, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I don't know that, Jonathan. Yeah.
I did. So you know how I like the grilled cheese burrito.
I know that Jonathan's burrito. In you based on that.
So
yeah.
Before that, my little thing was the blueberry cake donut from Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
I ate two or three of those every single morning. Love fast food. Like fast food is my favorite food.
Okay.
McDonald's, not Burger King. Burger King's gross, but McDonald's, McDonald's and Taco Bell and Dunkin' Donuts.
Taco Bell is good. I crushed Taco Bell about 2 weeks ago and I felt real. I was waiting for my son was in a chess tournament. I had like 2 hours and I hadn't eaten yet. I'm like, I'm just going to Uber Eats Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It felt really dirty, really bad. You're actually the first person I've told this to.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
It feels good to get that. It feels good to get that out.
Yeah. We need to sometimes get it out there, but I do. I love it. And so there was a time in my life where I looked at myself and I was like, I did not know I looked like that. Mm-hmm. And it came up more than seeing it in mirror was seeing it in pictures.
Yeah.
Seeing it in pictures. And then we had a Ring camera and I was like, who's that guy that just walked in the door?
Me,
and I was like, whoa, that was me.
I know. For me, it's like seeing this podcast on YouTube. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Brad, get in the gym.
So it's weird. It's not as much looking in the mirror as seeing it from a
somebody else's
point of view, and you're like, what?
Yeah, yeah. So what motivated you to change back when you got off the Taco Bell diet? Like, how did that happen? What was the motivating factor?
I just didn't want to look like that anymore.
Okay, that was it. Yeah. It was like you saw yourself
essentially
in a picture or in a mirror, and you said, sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Exactly.
So let's take this through the idea exploder here. We've got the idea, which is super clear. Got some questions about the technology. We've got to explore that.
Yeah.
But gut reaction, I love this.
Yeah.
I love this because I do think one of the motivating factors for change is having a vision for your future self.
Yeah, that's pretty eloquent. Yeah.
Remember Jerry Maguire?
Oh yeah.
Remember the movie Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
When
Show me the money.
You know, this guy's he's drunk, he's stumbling, he's got beauty and he's got brokenness, all of that. And this woman sees all of it. The beauty and the brokenness of this man who's in this incredibly dynamic place in his life. And she has a line in the movie where she tells her sister, "I love him. I love him for the man he is, and I love him for the man he's going to be." And that always stuck to me because I thought how whoever wrote that, you know, I think it was Cameron Crowe, was the writer of that movie, understood something about the human condition, which is the beauty of the future self.
Yeah.
You know, that all of us are heading in a direction, whether good or bad, but if to get a vision of the good self is very motivating, whether it's morally in that case, you know, I see who this person can be. But in your case, to see our future bodies and what they could look like, if we just stuck with it, I think taps into the human condition very well. I'm a big fan.
Good. I think this summer break, like, did you read a bunch of poetry or something?
I didn't. Am I a little poetic today?
Yeah, you're very poetic and deep. And yeah, like, I feel like...
What did I read?
I feel like you went away and you got in touch with yourself.
Do Facebook Reels count?
No.
No? Okay. Because I did a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that on the beach, just swiping. Yeah.
That was great.
Do you want to do some yeah buts?
Yeah. Let's hear them.
So, do you have any first? Do you have anything you thought like, yeah, this is a good idea, but I haven't figured, what are the parts of this idea that you haven't figured out yet?
Well, I'm not a tech person, so none of the technology, but it all exists. Like, they have Snapchat filters and filters.
Snappy chat?
Yeah. Have different things like that on them. Yeah. So I'm sure that technology exists. It's just figuring out the algorithm. It's going to rely on the user too. Like, you're going to have to put in what you ate, you know, you're going to have to be wanting to make a change, and then you're putting the information in and it's showing you. And I'm hoping people are more motivated by the positive side of things than the negative. They're looking at it and they're being like, seriously, that's what I'm going to look like in 6 months if I keep this up, you know, that kind of thing.
And just, and this is where we get into like picking the nits a little bit, but are we talking about on the app is a picture of my physical body? Or is it a stock body with my measurements?
Nope. I think it is. I pull up my phone. I look like I'm going to take a selfie, and my face and everything morphs into. So you've seen those filters, right? When they like Oldify and some of those other ones.
Yeah. Where I've seen the Oldify.
Yeah. So
but nothing like this. I've never seen anybody take the whole body, but even those filters,
you wouldn't have to, as much as you're putting in of your picture, that's where they're filtering it. So that's why I think a mirror would be amazing, right? If you had a mirror that was attached to Wi-Fi and you could download that app on there. So when you looked in the mirror, that's who you saw instead of yourself.
Oh, that gets me so excited.
Yeah.
And you could put in like, I want to see myself in 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
I think the mirror, well, we haven't got to that point yet. So
any other yeah buts on this one?
I mean, it's just a heavy technology lift probably, but I'm sure.
Are we using artificial intelligence? Are we using AI technology here?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about, the business model here.
Okay.
So share with me your thoughts on what's the financial play here?
There's a couple different things. Okay. One, you create the technology and then you sell it to the mirror workout system or one of those, you've seen those, right? That you hang them on the wall and they're a mirror and you're working out. and they have all the, so it's magnetic weights and all that kind of stuff. And they have programs there. So you could create the technology and sell it to somebody like that.
That's the exit. The exit plays that. Okay.
You could have it where it is an app that goes to like your phone, all those kinds of things. And people pay to have it on their phone.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Very simple.
Do you have a name for this app yet?
It's kind of tough. I was thinking trajectory.
Yeah.
Just because like this is the trajectory I'm on.
Yeah.
You said the word a future self, and so I was thinking future me.
Future me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like trajectory a lot.
Yeah, I like trajectory too. And then I had another one, but I would hesitate to use it on something like this because it's very personal to my family. Oh. I have a tattoo right there. Path Killer. That's my mini greats grandfather's name. He was Chief Path Killer. But Path Killer, because like you're destroying the path that you're on.
His chief name was Path Killer?
Chief Path Killer.
Wow.
That's his signature right there.
Path Killer. That is like so hardcore.
I know. And on his tombstone in North Georgia, it says intellectual. I can't remember what it says.
Like,
it's pretty cool.
When people are talking about their great grandparents, they're like, yeah, my great grandfather, what was his name? His name was Jerry.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my great grandfather, his name was Henry. And then they get to you and you're like, my great grandfather's name was Pathkiller.
Pathkiller, yeah.
The last
of the Cherokee kings.
You win. You win the room.
Some rooms, yeah. Up in the Northeast, though, like they've all been there forever. So, you know, their great grandparents are George Washington and things like that. So, you know.
Okay, that would, yeah. I suppose there's a world in which that might win the room.
Yeah.
So we've done a financial model. This is really simple. It's an app.
Yeah.
We're calling it Trajectory.
Did you have any names?
I mean, future self, future me. No, I can't beat Trajectory. So okay. I'm not going
to
try.
Yeah. It turned out to be like a good name
because it's like strong. It sounds good. I feel like it's a word that looks good.
Yeah.
You know? So what other categories do we have to walk through here? Have we done them all?
Yeah. We rate it.
Are we ready to rate this one?
Sure.
This is a good idea. I'm excited.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I'm going to take two movies.
Okay.
That used body makeup artists.
Okay.
In a crazy way.
Okay.
So it's going to be between Shallow Hal.
Okay.
Do you remember that show?
Yeah, of course.
With Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's where they made Gwyneth Paltrow a large person.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
So between Shallow Hal, which is, would you consider bottom rung of cinema entertainment?
Yeah, I have a bone to pick with that movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I would put that on the bottom rung.
Yeah. And then on the other side, it would be Austin Powers.
Okay.
But
you know I'm a big fan of that movie.
Yeah. Austin Powers is on the other side.
Okay. This one is Austin Powers, the first one.
Ooh.
Now my favorite Austin Powers is Austin Powers 3.
Okay.
Gold member. I love that movie. I know every line. It's probably the movie I've seen the most times.
Okay.
But that whole series is one of my favorite. Because I that movie came out when I was in high school.
Right.
So it's like whatever came out and was popular in high school, like it's just
That's
nostalgia.
It. Yep.
You've seen over and over again. So is this the greatest idea I've ever heard? Is this Austin Powers 3? Not necessarily, but is this a pretty great idea? Yeah.
Yeah.
Shallow House stinks, you know, shallow. And I love Jack Black, but like the whole idea of finally, when a man sees somebody for their inner beauty, they look like Gwyneth Paltrow to him.
Mm-hmm.
What? It contradicts itself.
Right.
You know, it's just ridiculous. So I'm going to go with Austin Powers 1 on this one.
I'll take it.
Awesome, man.
Very good.
Well, really good idea, trajectory. Hopefully somebody takes this and just runs with it because it's a good idea. Thanks for listening to this episode. We'd love it if you would like, rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with others. Know we've got a growing list of ideas, so we'll be back next time to share more with you. If you have an idea you'd like to share, head over to idealistpodcast.com and record your pitch right there on our site. We just may share it and pick it apart on an upcoming episode. So until next time, thanks again for joining The Idealist.